And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. You, or we, are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God continue to bless the reading of his word and the receiving of it into our hearts. You may be seated. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. Can we sing that? I believe it's found on 122 in your hymn book. 127. 27. Okay, we'll get it straight. Amen. Number 27. Let's sing that verse of that song. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just a thought for us to ponder this morning. You have it in you. You have it in you. When you think about the Word of God, and when you think about the power of God, so often we distance ourselves from the presence of God, not recognizing that every believer has God in his life. Every child of God has the Lord in his life. Now, we've been studying for a couple of weeks, Who Wants to Be a Superhero? And as we think about this, we approach that subject from the standpoint, well, I'm weak, but he's strong. I don't have it. And this verse says the opposite. You have God in your life. And because you have God in your life, you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what I want you to do for just a minute, I want you to think about a soldier going into battle. And I want you to think about from two scenarios. One is the soldier that goes into battle but has nothing to fight with. Nothing to fight with. And he's going out and he's going to represent his country, his nation, or whatever, but he has nothing to fight with. Do you think he would win? No, I don't think he would win. Now, consider the other scenario where a soldier goes into battle and he has everything that he needs because who sent him into the battle made sure that every piece of equipment, everything that that soldier needed, they would have it as they would go into the battlefront. Now, over 40 years, I've seen ministry change. I've seen it change from once we were warriors. Once we used to sing songs like, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. But now the warriors have turned into worriers. And we don't know if God is with us or not. And ladies and gentlemen, the word of God has not changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As a matter of fact, what you and I need to do, in the words of Henry Blackaby, we need to practice the presence of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have the awareness that no matter where you are, whether you're in the church or out in the world, God is in you. God is in you. I want you to make a declaration right now. Say this with me. God is in me. Now, you can say that because if you have accepted Christ and he's the Lord of glory and he's the Almighty God and you've accepted him, God is in you. God is in you. And it goes back to this verse that John wanted us to be aware of. And at that time, the church was facing persecution. They were facing trial. You think you got it bad. How would you have liked to have lived in the first century where they were facing death? Many of them had to go into the Roman arena and were destroyed by lions, but they kept their faith. They kept their faith in God because they knew that God was in them. No one could take that away from them. And listen to me. Whatever happens to you in this world, no one can take away from you what God put in you. It is yours. He wants you to have it through the struggles and the strifes of life. He wants you to know that all of these things that are happening around you doesn't change what's in you. Say for the second time, God is in me. So as we look at this, we want to face and look at a couple of things of how we can indeed practice the presence of God, or to be that superhero, or to be that Christian warrior, that one who stands in dangerous times and who fights faithfully to defend the faith, who believes and trusts in God, who knows that as they go forth into this life, they're not going to lose, they're going to win. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes about what it means to actually win. It's not winning like the world, but it's winning in the terms of God, of how God has instructed you to live this life. So let's look at a couple of things. Where did you get it? Where did you get it? If it's in you, where did you get it? How did it happen in your life? How did I come to this place where now we can say God is in me? That's a good thought. That's a good thought. Now, as we look at this, you need to be concerned about a couple of things that's happening that you may not have been aware of, what we call the essentials of God's people. It's essential for you to know these things. And the first one, know who you belong to. Does that sound reasonable? Y'all might be quiet. Something wrong? Is something on my head or something I don't know? So. What is it? How can you make this declaration that I belong to God? Well, you belong to God because God has accepted you in Christ. Inasmuch as God loved his son, he also loved you through his son. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to how this comes out. John says in verse 4, he actually tells us, you are of God, little children. You are of God. And I know sometimes you don't feel like you're of God because maybe things are not going right and maybe you're having a rough time. But that's not what God says about you. You are of God if you have Christ in your life. You are of God and no one, nothing in this world can change that. Paul says in Romans 8, he said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then a little bit further, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Neither death, nor height, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. How many of you today know that you belong to God? Amen. You know it without a shadow of a doubt that you belong to God. Then there's a second essential of your faith. Know what you possess. Know what you possess. Don't trust what people say about you. Because as my grandma said, they'll call you everything but a child of God. Know what you possess in your life. And when you know what you possess, then you can depend on how God is going to lead you. Look at what it says. It says, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater, look at that, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So many times when a crisis happens, we start looking at ourselves and we start doubting our faith. Oh, I had this to happen. Oh, I've got people talking about me. Join the club. Jesus had people talking about him. Well, folks don't like me on my job. Well, hello. These things happen in life. Well, I've got this tragedy that happened. I didn't ask for it, but all of a sudden this sickness came, or this death came, or this situation came, and I don't know what to do about it. You are not powerless. You have the power of God in you. Now, I want to tell you what this is all about. This is not going somewhere and jumping over tall buildings, stopping a speeding train. Please don't stand in front of a train. But what this is talking about, fighting that antichrist spirit, that every time something goes wrong in your life, well, you don't belong to God. God is not with you. That is the spirit of antichrist. And it will cause you to deny your faith. It'll cause you to say, well, I'm going to go over here and get in the world. I'm going to do what the world does. I'm going to drink like the world does. I'm going to play the lottery like the world does. I'm going to shack up like the world does. Listen, you've been called out of the world. You've been called into the marvelous light of God. Don't compromise who you are. Don't compromise who you belong to. You can say amen. I'll get an amen from the lights. You don't compromise that God is in you. God is in you, and he is the hope of glory. Don't worry about anything else in this world. If you read your Bible and you read it carefully, everyone who served God was persecuted. Abraham was persecuted. When he'd dig a well, folks would come and try to stop up that well. Moses was persecuted. How is he persecuted? By the very people he's trying to lead him into the promised land, and they fighting him. Hello? Moses was persecuted. Get this. Jesus was persecuted. But he never once said, God, you sure I'm your son? He never once said, he never once doubted that the power of God is in him. You don't need to doubt whether the power of God is in you just because you're facing the storm. Because guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. God's going to use that storm to train you. There's something you don't know. There's something you don't realize about God and your faith that he wants to show you. A lot of us read and we talk about it. We listen to the discipline of God and we'll think about it as, well, God's punishing me. No, child of God. Just because you have trouble, that doesn't mean God is punishing you. Coach Knight, when he would work with the athletes, and he worked with the football team and the track runners, he knew that they were going to face some challenges. So if he was soft on them, say, okay, just run whatever you want. Don't do your best, just because after all, the race is going to be easy. He never said that. He told them, you're going to have some challenges. And these players that are coming against you, they're going to try to defeat you. But what you've got to do in a sportsmanlike way, you've got to go out there and be prepared. He didn't tell them, just lift the lightest weight that you can. And just run just fast enough to get to the finish line. He would tell them, give it all you got. You did say that, right? What has happened to the Christian warrior? What has happened to the believer in Christ? I'll tell you what's happened. We tried to be like the world. And here John says, without apology, you are not of this world. You are not of this. If you're of God, then you're not of this world. Hello? Just want to make sure you're still here. So as we look at this, a couple of things I want to share with you, and then we're going to close the message. First of all, you have the power of God that's working through you. Now, before I get into this, I want to tell you a little story about what happens to a believer. A lot of us, we don't discover God's power in a life crisis because we don't think that if we belong to God, we ought to have any problems. We feel like, well, you know what, God, since you're my Heavenly Father, just send it on down. Every blessing, that hasn't happened to you, has it? Now, you've had some ups and you've had some downs, you've had some trials and you've had some situations, but the fact that you are here today, God gets the glory. God is the one that is praised. Amen? So God is going to allow these things to happen to you the same way that they happened with the believers in the first century. It's not changed today. If you believe in God, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah, and then I did some research on about this. I told you a couple of weeks ago about the baddest animal in the jungle is not the lion. And the baddest animal in the jungle is not the cobra. The baddest animal in the jungle is something called a honey badger. That joker's so bad, he eats cobras for breakfast. That's how bad he was. I'm going to tell you about another animal called the zebra. The zebra. And as I was listening and I looked it up online, at the Houston, Texas Zoo, there was the birth of a zebra on September 30th. Now, that wasn't so unusual, except when you think about how they are born. That little baby calf has to drop about 5 or 6 feet, and it lands on his head. And because of that, it landing on it, it breaks that, what they call the sac that it was born in. It begins to breathe. In other words, he's saying, what in the world? And so all of this happens to that baby zebra. And then as the mother begins to coax it and to clean it and she cares for it, something unusual takes place. As soon as that baby giraffe gets up and stands on its feet and it's, you know, trying to stand, the mother does something. She kicks it. Yeah. And it falls back down and it scrambles and it tries to get up on its feet again. And she coaxes it and cleans it up and works with it. And then as soon as it gets back on its feet, she kicks it again. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, that's cruel. How in the world could that mother giraffe do that to that little baby calf? Here's why. She knows that there are lions ready to eat that calf if it can't run. So she would rather train it early on to have it prepared for the run. And the very day it's born, that's the very day that little calf, giraffe, learns how to run and take care of itself. Now, we as a church, we are so blessed. And there's nothing that can take that blessing away. But we're so accustomed to getting blessed. As soon as God sends a trial our way, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you sending the... God's sending you through that to train you. He disciplines you in love because he knows that something is coming your way, or there will be a need for you to minister to someone else to help them through their struggle. So if you've been through it, if you've been trained, if you've been disciplined, now you know how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we've looked at how did you get it? We've also looked at why you have it. You have it because of this power that is now working in you. But now, here's the other thing, and I'll get to it in just a second. You need to know through everything that you're going through that I'm owned by God. Guess what? Even sometimes when we fall short of the glory of God, which we do, God doesn't say to you, you're no longer my child. You don't belong to me. There are a lot of people that believe, well, if you're saved, you can lose your salvation. It depends on who saved you, right? Just like, you know, if losing your money in a bank, it depends on what bank you got it in, all right? So if you have your trust in the living God, if God did enough to eradicate, to do away with your sin, don't you think he can keep you? Even on those short days, even on those days when you don't do everything you're supposed to do, don't you think that the grace of God will keep you And by the way, that's when his other discipline comes in. He will correct you when you're wrong, but he'll also train you because of the journey that you're facing in life. So it's important for you to know that you are of God, that you belong to him, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's break this down as we finally look at why you have it, and then lastly, how do you use it? You have it because you have it through Christ. You have it through Christ. St. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, how many of you received him? As many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Anyone who accepts Christ. And that's why I tell people, well, we got a lot of religions in the world and we don't know which one to believe. Only one died for you. Only one died for you. Don't be disrespectful of other people, but know what you believe. Know that you believe in Christ because he died for you. He gave his life for a ransom. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So we have this authority through Jesus Christ. He gave us these things so that we would know him and that we would have fellowship with him. We belong to God. Say, well, how do you have this? How do you know that you're a Christian? God said I was one. God said it. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then the second thing about it, you have to look at the fact that now that we have Christ in our life, we have the power to overcome. Power to overcome. Let's say the same situation comes your way, and you're wondering what to do. You turn to the Bible and you flip the pages and you're trying to find out how you can deal with it and how you can. Most of us just want to get out of it. Most of us just want to have an easy day to say, well, I got through this, and it's done. But that's not how God sends you through a trial. He gives you his grace. He gives you his power. And while you're walking through that trial, God constantly says to you, I love you. Why? Because the world is telling you, I hate you. I hate everything about you. By the way, when you receive Christ, guess who became your enemy? The devil and the world. And if you were of the world would love you. But you are of God. You are of God. Now you're under this constant attack. How many of y'all feel like you're being picked on by something? You know, just going through life and just feel like every day, okay, what am I going to get picked on today for? And you feel that your life is always a struggle. Listen, child of God, listen. You only live a number of days down here, but we're talking about eternity. We're talking about something beyond this time. And the fact that you're going through and you're struggling down here, don't worry about it. If you read about the people in the Bible, every one of them had to go through a trial. Every one of them had to go through a crisis except the ones who were in the world. And you read about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus suffered every day of his life in poverty, didn't have the means to survive. And while he was there, this rich man at his gate, Lazarus would lay there. This rich man fared sumptuously every day. But they died. They died. And Lazarus was comforted in the bosom of Abraham. And when the rich man died, oh, yeah, he had it good in life. He had it good while he was here. But as soon as he exited this thing called time and stepped into eternity, the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. I don't mind suffering if I know I'm on the right side. I don't mind suffering if I know that I believe that God is able. I don't mind going through a trial down here if I know that at the end of this life, God's going to bless me. I don't mind going through the struggles of life because I know whom I have believed in and I'm persuaded that he is able. So you look at this thing and you say, well, okay, I know I belong to God. I know that I believe in him. I know that I got what I have through Christ. What does it mean to overcome? To overcome is not to defeat all the folks in the world that's mad at you. That's not what this is about. Well, God's going to give me the power to get even with you. I wouldn't say that about you. Because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Quit fighting people. And usually it's members of your own family that you're fighting with. Oh, did I say something wrong? Don't worry about those things. You focus your mind on serving God, because what you want to do is you want to allow God to speak to you and show you, and I'll share it with in a minute, show you how to love those who are doing those things. To love them with the love of Christ, because that's what they need. They need Jesus. And they need you to help in receiving Jesus. So we have the power to overcome. We're going to overcome the thoughts. We're going to overcome the tactics of the devil. We're going to overcome this world, because we're not going to walk after the things of the world, right? When you become a Christian, by the way, when you become a Christian, you don't need to do the things you used to do. And if you're doing the things you used to do and you don't feel any conviction at all, I would wonder whether or not you really are saved. But because you're saved, you now have this conviction of living the life for God, yielding yourself to His Holy Spirit and walking by His power. Amen? Amen? Amen. So you have the power to overcome. But then lastly, as you look at this, you have that proof of ownership. And I shared with you a little bit about it, but the proof of ownership says that every situation that I'm in, not only do I know who I am, but I know who I can depend on. Listen what happened to the disciples when they were out on the sea. Jesus was with them on the boat, and they were out on the troubled sea. Then all of a sudden, the waves started dashing, and it got into the boat, and they got afraid. They tried to do whatever they could, but then they ran to Jesus, and they came to him with this question, Lord, do you care that we perish? This is what Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Now, why did he say that? First of all, he was right there with them. Right in the boat with them. But then Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And the Bible says there was a great calm. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. God wants you to realize who He is. Not after the storm is over, but while the storm is happening. Well, I don't know whether I can do that. Listen to what happened to the disciples. When they recognized that Jesus had calmed the sea, here's what they said. What kind of man is this? Wait a minute. Didn't you know he was the Son of God? Didn't you know how powerful he was? Now they're saying, what kind of man? He's God. When God brings you through your trial and you know that it was not your strength, it was not your intelligence, but it was God Almighty who had his hand on your life, when you know that he will not leave you nor forsake you, you can lift up your hands and lift your voice and say, God, I thank you for keeping me in the midst of the storm. Even if the boat does sink, even if the boat does go under, don't you know that God can still keep you? Even if the boat begins to break apart, you can still make it on a broken piece. Amen? Some of you have had a broken heart in life. You've had confusion to come your way, and you grabbed hold of whatever God gave you, and you made it. You need to celebrate the goodness of God and the ownership of God. He will never let you go. He will never let you go. He's constantly watching over your life. And then lastly, as we close, you demonstrate that through love. You demonstrate that through love. A lot of people are going through this world, and they're mad at everybody. Just mad. Well, I don't like you because of this. I didn't make me. God made me. Tall people don't like short people. Short people don't like tall people. And skinny people don't like gifted people. And we're in a world where people don't understand what it is to love each other. None of us are going to take a long trip through this life. If you live to be 100 years, you better celebrate that. Most of us are going to come short of that. You have an opportunity to love each other. And why are we always at each other's throat? Because I think this and I think that. We need to shut up and look up. Because God wants us to love each other. He said, now listen, John chapter 15, and I'm going to go to my seat. John chapter 15, Jesus said, by this, by what? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if. Now, what is that if? That if was not based on some supernatural ability, not because you can sing, not because you can preach, not because you can lead, not because you can do any of these things. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. I close with this verse in 1 John 4:8. He that does not love does not know God. Plain and simple. You don't know God. Well, wait a minute. So-and-so did this to me. Well, this love will give you forgiveness so that you will look beyond their fault. All right? That's what Christ did on Calvary. He looked beyond the faults of men. He didn't say, you scoundrels, you rascals, I'm up here on this cross dying for you, and you don't. No, he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. If you have your mind on loving God, look at what happens. You know God because God is love. How do you know it? He put his love in you. He put his love in you. On your job now, you're going to go back to that rat race on your job tomorrow. And you're going to have to deal with the same folk you dealt with on Friday. And you're this close to retirement. And okay, all right. And you're going to deal with a bunch of people that they're going to find every way they can to beat you down. And here you go back at work. Now, you can get swollen up, get mad. But what if you came in with a smile? And people say, why are you smiling? I'm smiling because God loves me. I'm smiling because I can come into a situation and not worry about what's going to happen. Even if it happens for bad, I know God's going to get the glory. If it happens for good, if I can be an example to someone else, God's going to get the glory. So either way, I'm coming into this situation knowing that God is in control and that I have the love of Christ. Of all the possessions that you can have in this world, none can compare to possessing the love of Jesus. I go a step further. If you've got hatred in your heart, toward anybody, animosity toward anybody, for whatever reason, please let the love of God go into that little zone where you're kind of keeping God out of. Let God invade that darkness and bring the light of his love, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got it in you. I preach beyond my time. Y'all just kept listening, so I'm going to close the message now. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your power, your amazing love that allows us to live this life for your glory. We would have given up a long time ago. We would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. But we discovered greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And because of that, we are overcomers. We really are superheroes for the living God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. If there be one that does not know or have not accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, we invite you to come. He wants to love you. He wants to give you his grace and his amazing power. I'm not going to say the minute after you receive Christ, every one of your problems is going to vanish. That's not what I'm saying. I'll tell you what, you'll become a friend of God. And because you become his friend, God will pour out his power and his goodness into your heart. Is there one today? Is there one? We're going to get ready for our offering. We ask that you prepare your gifts as we prepare our hearts. And let us give as the Lord has blessed us. Also, today, if you have not already, we'll be contributing to our Men and Women's Day. This is the second of the services that we ask an extra donation of you. And we ask that you would please honor the Lord in that.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for supplying all of our needs. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us a mind to just give back a portion of that which you have given us. We ask that you bless the gift, bless the giver, bless those that had a desire to give but had not. But we ask it all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close the day, we want to remind you that Sunday school is going on right now. We ask you to be a part of that if you can. And then as we had announced earlier, that we will be celebrating our Men and Women's Day. That'll be at 3 p.m. this afternoon. And we have Pastor Glenn Faulkner of the White Oak Fork Baptist Church of Virgilina will be our guest speaker, as well as the Mount Shiloh Choir will be rendering the music. We have a thank you that comes from Brenda Jackson and her family. The family and I would like to thank the entire congregation for all of your prayers, thoughts, cards, and all gifts of kindness. Thanks again, Brenda Jackson and family, for everything you've done, for being the special people you are. Thank you so very much. And she is here today, and we thank the Lord for Brenda blessing her through the time of their loss and bereavement. Amen. Also, we ask that, what else I had? I had three things, and I can always remember two. Well, I guess y'all have a good day. Let's all stand. Yes, okay.